Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, my custom. I love this part. I really do. Just to welcome our guests, because I know they're coming with a couple of things I deem very expensive time. Man, I remember when I misused her. I didn't understand who she was, how she cared for me, how she loved me. I had to learn how to respect her. And once I did, life changed. And I can tell who you are by how you treat time. The other is the journey. The journey is a creator. It created the individual before us, and that individual is Rebecca. And we want to thank her for coming and sharing both of these precious commodities, her time and her journey, because it will empower us to become better human spirits through her wisdom, knowledge, and insights while we are here on this planet called Earth. That we become better human spirits in her presence. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to share my journey and my time with you all.
Thank you. One of the questions that I ask people, because I tell them that we ought to become servants, but Rebecca, I put it in this format, this questionnaire, for you to tell them, how do you serve? And I say, how do you serve mankind? Because I want people to know this is not about you, it's about mankind. How do you serve?
To me, one of the greatest barriers that I believe all of us experience, at least at some point in our lives, is believing the limiting stories that our own inner critics tell us. The stories telling us we aren't enough, we don't have enough knowledge, enough skills, enough whatever it is for our desires, and yet we feel called to go after those desires. So my work and my passion is showing and guiding others how to question those stories, first to recognize that they are simply stories of the mind, and then dig a little deeper and discover the truth of who you really are and what you're really meant for and all that you're capable of, so that you can experience the life that you're truly meant for, whether that means growing a business, giving back, whether that means fulfilling deep inner desires, whether that means healing your own self within your family, all to embrace the gifts of each day, because every day has so many beautiful gifts within available to us. And when we aren't present with the truth of who we are, it's so easy to take those things for granted.
I love it. This is absolutely going to be fun. I hope you guys heard everything she said. And Rebecca, I have this thing that I try to encourage my listeners to become hearers. Because when we hear, it's the internal man. We call that person the subconscious, the religious. In religion, we call that the soul of that man. And he hears, he or she hears. Your body, your natural conscious mind is the listener. And so I invite you guys to become hearers of this conversation, because I guarantee you, if you hear it, your life will change. Rebecca, one of the things that the customs that we have here at Threads of Enlightenment is go back into that time machine that is called memory. Go back into that very first space that we visit for a short time called the family. What was your family unit like?
My family growing up was, it was a beautiful environment to be in, and also one that inspired me to step into this path. I was very close to my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and they had all sustained some difficult times in their childhoods. And for me, at a very young age, I was very curious about how humans related. At a deep level, I always wanted to understand. I always wanted to heal. I always wanted to help. My mom was also very sick as a kid. And so I was very curious to understand how people functioned, how we were all connected. And I was also very curious to dig a little deeper and see like the truth of each person. So my family life there was many beautiful memories with my father as well. But there was also a lot of trauma that I was immersed in, and I had a desire to heal it, to make everybody feel better. And through that experience, rather than taking care of myself, I walked away thinking that my childhood was good, everyone else's around me wasn't. So I wasn't worthy of the joys, the healing, the whatever. Instead, I needed to give up my own well-being for everyone else. And I think for me, I'm so grateful for all of the experiences, but I had first a desire to heal my family. And then it came to a point in later years where I realized I needed to heal myself. And when I finally did that, then I became an inspiration that ultimately brought healing to my family in beautiful ways that I had just realized was not my responsibility. But yeah, so that was my family experience in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's I think to a degree we all suffer trauma, and it gives birth. And I tell people the thing about the trauma, it becomes our superpower, mm-hmm. but it will walk us through a journey in order for it to become the superpower. Initially, we are a slave to it. It owns us, if you will. It keeps us in a survival mode until we learn how to master it, in the sense where we are not allowing it to drive us and to control us anymore, where we are now the creators of that thought field that people deposit words all day long, whether it's from mom or dad, grandparents, or TV, friends, will deposit into this thought field about the less than, and you can't do this, you're this and that. So here you are, Sarah, as a young woman. I love that you mentioned that, because this curiosity, this desire to know began to reside within you, and you noticed it and you started looking, not recognizing. I tell people, if you heal yourself first, the other stuff works. But we are programmed mm-hmm. to believe that if we fix the outside, then we'll be able to deal with that. So here you exactly. are. This young girl recognizes that she needed some additional data in order to serve the outside world. What was that data that you were collecting as a young girl that is very inquisitive as to her surroundings? What did you look for to gather to give you knowledge and insight?
As a child or when I got older?
Yeah, as a child. Mm. You know, kids hide to get stories. They go into books. They go into art. They go into all these different arenas, if you will, to gather information to help them through their growth, if you will.
Mm. For me, I spent precious time in the woods. I was grateful to live in the woods. And for me, being in nature was a huge source of learning and joy, and it still is. And I think for me, being present for the joy of nature and seeing the beauty around me each day was an inspiration, because I wanted to share with my family and show them that maybe everything is okay. Maybe today is good. Maybe there's some beauty here for us to enjoy. And I think I learned it from nature. I definitely, I was also very imaginative. I would play a lot I was very close to my best friend, who I still am, and we would play extensively imagination games. And I think in that storytelling and playing out all the plot lines, and it was like I wish we could have a recording of the stories that we created sometimes, because I think about we probably learned about life a lot just through playing and being outside and exploring.
Yeah, some of the greatest teachers are playing, utilizing the imagination and dancing and being a part of nature. Nature is a powerful teacer. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, when we're younger, we start fine-tuning certain tools that later on will become valuable in our lives. The storytelling that you're talking about, the imagination becomes important because you have to utilize those type principles later on in life. So as you're moving through your life, Rebecca, heading into high school, how did you relate to others? You have this best friend that you have here. What was the others, if you will, that and how did you deal with them?
I was actually very shy. I was painfully shy, very closed. As I got older and also in middle school, I became very sick and I was homeschooled for 3 years. So I was not surrounded by my peers. I was surrounded just by my family and adult tutors and such. And then reemerging back into school after that, I had already been shy going into that experience, but I was even more painfully shy coming out of it. And I did not relate easily to strangers. I was very much an introvert. And so I was most comfortable with my best friend. I could be myself with her, with my family, with a few select friends, but being able to come out of my shell around others was extremely difficult. Speaking in public, like answering questions, giving presentations, all absolutely terrifying. That version of myself would have never imagined that I would grow up to love public speaking now, but she would be horrified at all the things I do, honestly. But at that time, I was very, very in my own world, even though I was quite disconnected from it as well.
So here's a girl in her own world, if you will, and she's looking into college. She's moving on to becoming independent, if you will, to start stepping out to create even more so of her journey as she moved forward. Where did you go as far as study and why did you pick that?
Well, in eighth grade, I decided that because I had loved to bake all throughout childhood. And in eighth grade, I decided that I wanted to go to the Culinary Institute of America for baking and pastry. So all throughout high school, I was decided on my career path. I knew with certainty that one day I would be a top pastry chef no matter what. Like that was it. Didn't need to think about any other career paths. And so I went on to go to the Culinary Institute. But the reason why I loved baking so much was the moment when I would see someone being stressed out, having a not great day, or being overwhelmed or whatever it was, and then they would eat a pastry of mine and they would smile. And that little transformation of bringing, you know, momentary happiness to others was the thing that I loved about baking. And that inspired me to go on to the Culinary Institute. When I was in college there, it was a huge turning point of my life because all the shyness came up, all of my years of perfectionism, beating myself up over mistakes, striving to be absolutely perfect, do not make any mistakes. That was all amplified in pastry school. That was as it was demanded. The pastry world, it is like expected to be a perfectionist. And that brought me into the next stage of my life for sure.
So as this perfectionist being walked into a world that demands even more perfection, as you are there, what did you notice about Rebecca being this perfectionist in a world of perfection? I'm sure you're looking at those shortcomings because you're not there yet in their eyes and so forth. What was that conversation in your mind dealing with you?
The self-doubt became very, very obvious. I think in my high school years, I was too disconnected to myself and stayed too small. In college, I started to come out of my shell. I started to learn how to socialize. I started to be seen in a bigger way. And in that, I started to become painfully aware of the self-doubt, not in a, I'm aware that I'm doubting myself, just that I believed that I didn't have what it takes to get what I wanted, or I needed to throw myself away every time and become something better every single day. There was, I still remember this one class where we were making tartlets, like actually full tarts. And I made a fruit tart and a tart with a meringue on it. And when the chef came around with all the class to analyze our bakes and critique it and do all of that process, everyone was judging these tarts. And they were oohing and aahing. My chef gave me top remarks. Everyone was telling me how beautiful it was and how great it was. And I did not believe any of them. All I saw were the flaws. And I thought they're just being nice. Like they're just being nice right now. They're not telling the truth. How could they? Because I see this flaw and this mistake and this flaw and this mistake. It's not beautiful. I don't know what they're talking about. So that
where did
I
you
doubted
get that
myself.
From?
Go ahead.
Where did you pick that up from, Rebecca? Where do you remember when that seed was planted in you?
Yeah, well, I think it was an ancestral trait, generational trait,
mm-hmm.
that was passed down from generation to generation, mm-hmm. that I've seen it in my family, and it was bestowed upon me as well. I think it was learned as well as implanted.
Yeah. I believe in the ancestral piece as well. Mm. And I believe we are, this is my beliefs, Rebecca. I believe that we are programmed while we're in the mom's womb. Ancestral programming, then you have the emotions of mom and dad and the family that this being is listening to, mm-hmm. the music that is around there, all of those different things constantly being programmed. And I believe we pick up some of those energies while we're in the womb, and it lodges with us, it merges and synchronizes with us. And sometimes when we are out there, we just know that it's a part of us, and we don't even know sometimes where it came from, not realizing, as you state, ancestral, but also from the energies of mom and dad and the families also that we are there, and we are being programmed at a subconscious level and not really aware of the programming, but we're listening to it, and it's been depositing in our being for a pretty long time. And 100%. I think it manifests, and I believe there's always one in a family, one member in a family that has the opportunity to change everything in that lineage and that ancestral tree. And so here you are, you're the one that was picked for it. So here you are in a perfectionist, in a perfection world, you're looking at the imperfection as they are praising your perfection.
Yes.
and you're looking at them going, wow, I don't believe a word each one of them said. So here you are, you're moving from that. Mm. That is Rebecca, that's a dark place for this girl to be, where people are complimenting her ability and she rejects everything. Mm-hmm. So here you are moving through life now, rejecting those compliments as your, what was happening to you in your relations to others, because this is going to start manifesting and showing all kinds of stuff. So how are you dealing with other people when you don't believe other people?
Yeah, that is a really great question. That definitely inspired tumultuous dating years, for sure. I had many, many years of going through relationships and having dramatic experiences. And each relationship, it almost went on a downward spiral first before it started coming back up again. It's like I needed to kind of go into the depths a little bit more before I was able to reemerge in believing that I was worthy of loving myself, worthy of honoring myself, worthy of listening to myself. But romantically, it brought some difficult relationships. Friend-wise, I had never really experienced having difficult friendships prior to that, other than my really close ones and then just some nice lighter friendships, but never had dramatic, you know, girlfriend things. And that started to happen as well. So that question is very accurate that it reflected during that chapter in my life. There was relating to others was more tumultuous than it had ever been for me and ever been since. But I learned a tremendous amount through that because of my curiosity and coupled with my curiosity and my desire to choose a life that was less stressful than what I saw my parents experience. I wanted to have a life that brought me happiness, brought me joy, brought me peace. And I went about it looking at it, I love to bake. That must be the reason. Let me go and that must be the answer. Let me go and find a career that would allow me to bake. But my desire to seek joy and my desire to be curious enabled me to come through those darker years, I suppose.
With the desire and the curiosity, where did the both of those powerful tools, where did they lead you as to begin to look at the inward Rebecca? Where did they lead you to Rebecca? From, you know, those are powerful tools to have.
Oh, yeah.
And they lead you places. So where did you go?
Yeah, they still lead me. And I'm very, very grateful for those two things because they're always guiding me towards the highest good. But at that time, it first needed to start with my relationship with myself. And that was the time when I finally started realizing I don't need to change others. I want to learn to accept others and work on the change within myself, which I thought was a change at first, but it turned out to be an acceptance of myself and healing of myself. And so through that time, I started learning, going inward. That was when I first started reading some personal development books. And that is when I noticed a change in my relationships. And I was in a good relationship, but it still was not ultimately it was a reflection of still what was going on inside, where I was not having my own back and not feeling like I deserved to take up space. And so when I ended that relationship, it was a huge moment. It really had nothing to do with that person. It had everything to do with me, which I guess all of them technically would be. But for me in that moment, it was me finally saying yes to myself in a fullness kind of way. And knowing that was safe and that was okay, and it's not arrogant and bad to honor yourself and take up space within yourself. In fact, it ultimately is the best thing you could do for everybody around you. But that moment guided me towards it shortly after I met my now husband. And like within a few weeks, we started dating and everything kind of changed. And that in my relationships, that completely healed in that way. And then personally, it's got me digging deeper. I was no longer feeling comfortable and satisfied and fulfilled in the pastry world. So I thought I wanted to be a writer. So I started going to school for writing and then gonna write novels, and then went back to wanting to open a bakery. And was just like in this searching place, searching, still curious and looking with that desire.
When you began that journey and you excavated yourself from that relationship, and you know you were on this beginning to understand you and to experience you, loving of yourself. When you began to engage in that relationship, Rebecca, what did you notice about you? When you began to engage in loving you, what was it that you saw? And what were some of those tools that you brought in? You talked about not sure and kind of circular, if you will. What did you notice about you as you began to move forward about you?
Well, the very first personal growth book that I read was Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. Yeah. So that was like, yes, it's a fantastic book. But that's a sign of what I was needing and where kind of everything prior and then everything moving forward was establishing boundaries, knowing it's okay to set boundaries, knowing how to set boundaries. So within those boundaries, then I could finally find myself, because prior I was just enmeshed with so many around around me. And I didn't know where I ended and where you began. And I would just, you know, be so open and so vulnerable, yet so closed at the same time. So with boundaries, then I could discover, I could start to explore what was it within me. So I would say that was the biggest and most difficult task to start to take on, and one that I still practice. Of course, I think it's a great thing to always be refining boundaries, but that was very pivotal for sure.
Yeah, I hope you guys are paying attention to Rebecca about this, because this boundary stuff, there's so many books out there that are very good, and you need to really get into that, because it is a part of your life. It's going to be every day. Learning to establish boundaries. And boundaries are good. Most people feel that boundaries are not good, but boundaries will save your life. It will redirect you. It will empower you. Boundaries are not set up to take away power from you. It is to empower you to make wise decision of your time and who you can offer that time to, and all of those different things. And it's a protection also. It will keep you safe from a lot of nuts out there. So here you are, Rebecca, you picked boundaries to start it, which is powerful, because it will center you, if you will. It'll help center you quickly. And as you're moving forward in your life and you begin to center yourself, you begin to, you talked about you were living a circular existence at this time. And it's usually because there's this unrest within you. It sits on your chest. And that unrest is to usher you towards your assignment. I mentioned to Rebecca, I believe every man and every woman has an assignment on this planet. And no job will keep you satisfied and happy and joyful like your assignment. So as you had this unrest sitting within you, where did it begin to escort you to, Rebecca? Where did you find yourself heading because of that unrest that was sitting there in your life?
Yeah, this unrest led me to finding my real purpose, my real path, my real service in this life. But it was, I had found myself working in bartending, serving tables, working in a couple different bakeries, kind of piecing together, utilizing my food industry skills while kind of planning to maybe one day open a bakery, but not quite sure. And I was dating my current husband now, but I was very far from loving my job at all, not using the skills that I had, feeling not challenged at all, looking for that progress that I wasn't receiving. And I kind of felt like I was starting to waste away a little bit. And then my father became diagnosed with terminal colon cancer. And that moment changed everything. So I had grown up with my mom very sick. I always imagined that my dad would be around forever and my mom would be the one to pass away early. And here everything got flipped around and it was completely different. So this person that I had almost taken for granted that would always be there was suddenly not going to be. And now the working in the food industry of working on nights and holidays and weekends seemed so uninteresting. I wanted to be with my family and living a career path that was no longer meaningful. And it hadn't really been like in that moment, the need for meaning became so relevant to me. And that's when suddenly I was bartending, and it was like, I still can't explain it. It felt like a trance where I was bartending and one of my customers mentioned massage therapy, and a light bulb went off and I thought, oh, I'll be a massage therapist. And so I decided randomly just to drive to this, look up the nearest school. I drove there. They had a discovery workshop. And the whole time I'm thinking, like, what am I doing? This is absolutely crazy. Like, I have a degree in baking and pastry from a prestigious school. I'm about to throw it away for massage therapy. Like, I'm not even a touchy-feely person. Why massage therapy? I have no idea. But I drove there anyway, parked my car, almost like didn't even want to go in because I felt so ridiculous and crazy. But I went in anyway. And as soon as I opened the door, I felt something that I had never felt elsewhere. Like in the kitchens, in the culinary world, there's like adrenaline and fear circulating around in the air. In this environment, there was calmness. Yeah. There was peace. And I was like, okay, I need to be here. And I sat down in this workshop and then the teachers walked in. And when the teachers walked in, I felt them and their energy, and they were calm and they were grounded. And suddenly I knew that that's what I'd been searching for. Like, I didn't know how to feel those feelings on my own, unless if we were on the, you know, perfect, the planets aligned on a perfect vacation for a fleeting moment, I would feel calm and grounded, but I never knew how to feel that way on my own. And so I thought, yeah, I don't know about this massage therapy thing, but if I go here and learn from these teachers, maybe I'll learn how to feel that way too. And that's when I enrolled. And then one of the first classes, I was required to meditate, and I was introduced to meditation. And that is what led me ultimately to here. But that was the reason why I was supposed to go to massage therapy school.
Yeah, meditation is one of the most powerful tools known to mankind. It saved my life. I love your story, Rebecca, because I've been trying to educate and make those aware of the circular living. And I tell people that we live circularly because we haven't decided yet. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about things, but we haven't made a decision yet. And when one is seeking, especially when your that restlessness is there, I believe is that restlessness, there is something for you to move on through, to do. And so that person comes, whispered here with your natural mind. I bet you that was made inside of you, because while you make that decision, you jumped in your car and you went and found that school. And I tell people, when you decide, that's when you do. Once you make that decision, you will take the appropriate steps to make that a reality, because you decided it. And your inner man, your subconscious man, made that decision. And once he decides, everything becomes a reality. So I always tell them, make sure that when you're making a decision, it's not an external decision, it's an internal decision, because it will bring the fruits faster than the external, because the external will keep you circular. So here you are, you found your passion, you walked into meditation, one of the most powerful things out there, as you began to meditate, because now you are going to have a chance to engage in that thought field that lots of deposits has been made over the years by everybody, the grandmother, the mother, the dogs, the cats, the birds, everybody's been talking to you from the time, you know, and that field is just a fun place. Tell me about your feel when you started meditating and you bring in this tool. How did you learn to become the I don't know, we don't really master it. I haven't mastered all my thoughts. Once in a while, some crazy ones will sneak in, but I am much more able to choose which one I want to bear fruit. How was your meditation, and what did it assist you to become?
Yeah, beautiful questions. My meditation at first was quite difficult, as so many of our experiences with meditation often are at first, because all those thoughts, all those angst, like all that angst, all of that stuff that I'd been almost running away from or trying to search for something better, I was left to sit with and confront. And also my inherent belief was that there was something, you know, broken or wrong within me. And so as soon as I sat in meditation, there was almost that resistance, and I don't want to see that brokenness or that wrongness. Like, I don't want to go there. But in going there, I started to see the truth and started to realize that all these stories, all these identities that I had about myself, that I'm a worrier, I'm overwhelmed, I am not perfect enough, all of those stories, they were just stories. They weren't the truth. And they were just thoughts. And as I started to realize in observing thoughts, they started to lose power. And I went into meditation to throw myself away and become better, like I had done with everything else prior, and realized that meditation teaches you how to befriend yourself exactly as you are. And that was the greatest gift I could have ever given myself. And it's the greatest gift I give myself and choose to give myself every single day now. But that, what you were talking about with the mastery of being able to developing the skill to discern and choose which thoughts to bear fruit and which thoughts to give energy towards and which thoughts to release, that to me came with time. But also I love to incorporate journaling as well. My professional career then I went nuts once I went into the wellness industry. I wanted to learn everything because I felt like my soul was just coming alive. And I became a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher, a Reiki master, a breathwork facilitator, just took all these trainings, kept learning. But the meditation was the thing that I felt most called for. And in my massage therapy business, in working with my clients, the massage therapy didn't light me up. It wasn't my path. It was a stepping stone. But it showed me my favorite moments were moments when I started being able to hand some of these tools back to them in those little moments of coaching moments that just happen accidentally, deep conversations, me sharing some protocols to help them gain some peace. And that is what led me to become a coach now. But all throughout the years, I started gathering my favorite tools and kept learning and gathering and learning and gathering. And now I love to utilize journaling and meditation together to consistently question the thoughts that come up, observe them, decide which ones that I want to give energy towards, create ones intentionally that I want to bear fruit and let go of the others. And that's one of my favorite practices every day and one of my favorite practices to hand to others.
Napoleon Hill states, he says that we become godlike when we learn how to master our thoughts. That's pretty much how I learn how to master my thoughts. It is a journey, guys. So don't expect this to happen right away. It will never happen right away. A lot of people always think that, when it comes to personal growth, that you have to expect this thing to happen right away. There is no such thing. It is like a plane. I tell people, a journey. You have, it's not a linear walk. It's the plane moves back and forth because of turbulence, and you will always have turbulence in your life. So don't listen to these people when they talk about this stuff. It's not real, you know? So just make sure that you stay focused and that you're moving from one space to another. So here, and Rebecca's talking about some of the most powerful tools available to us. She began to go into all the different disciplines to find and gain knowledge. Journaling is one of the most powerful tools coupled with meditation. It is going to take you some places. So here you are, Rebecca, and you're dealing with self-doubt. How did you begin to, with self-doubt, how did you begin to become more assured, if you will, of who you are, in the sense of here is this person that has been through all kinds of things in her life. how did she begin to walk through and take control, if you will, of that self-doubt aspect of herself? How did you reconcile that with yourself as you're growing and moving forward?
Thank you for asking that question. Yeah, that was when I shifted from leaving massage therapy and truly following what I felt called for, which was to help others find the same self-exploration, inner peace, and capabilities within themselves that I did. I wanted to launch an online business, and that is when the self-doubt came up very strong and the old perfectionism came back up. And I found myself recording videos, 30 times until I'm filled with tears, don't have a video ready that I want to post, and it's just as bad as the first one, if not worse. And, all those stories that I think so many wellness entrepreneurs can relate to, that in that moment, I kept getting stuck. And I had been working with a mentor in helping me teach yoga and grow my business and everything. And we had mapped out an entire plan. I knew everything I needed to do to launch and grow this business. But I kept finding myself paralyzed when it came time to take action on that one thing that I wanted so deeply, that I could see and taste the life that it would give me if I only got myself to take action. But the self-doubt was so overwhelming. That was when I truly... Well, in that moment, it was like the last day of my mentorship with my teacher, Matt Giordano. He's a yoga teacher. He turned to me after I taught a yoga class and he said, "You now have everything you need. All you have to do now is get out of your own way." And those words to me hit me because I knew it. And I could feel that, I just keep getting stuck in my own way. And for the first time, I actually believed somebody who gave me a compliment. I started to see the things that he had been seeing. I could see that, wait a second, maybe I do have the skills that he says I do. It was no longer the days of tart shells and my chefs telling me compliments and me rejecting them. I could receive them in that moment. So I knew that I needed to learn how to get out of my own way. That's when I shifted all of my attention to the external of trying to build my business, and then shifted my attention to learning how to release the self-doubt. And that's when I really learned the journaling practices. That's when I added journaling, more specific journaling prompts to question my thoughts and dig deeper and discover the lies of the limiting beliefs from our subconscious minds trying to keep us safe, and then rewriting them and creating and discovering the truth and then following the truth. And every time I do that, I'm able to take action. And that's when I started to launch my business and then grow my business and keep growing my business until I realized that I love to teach other wellness professionals how to do the same. Because I find with wellness professionals, so many of us come into this profession from the personal side first. We have our own personal awakenings, our own personal transformations, much like myself. And then when it comes time to grow the business, self-doubt can come up and block us, or whatever other limiting stories that we're believing right now that are not the truth of who we are or what we're meant for. And so I am hugely passionate to teach others how to not allow those barriers to stop us from putting ourselves out there and following what we're called for. But journaling and meditation, adding the journaling was the thing that changed everything for me.
Hey guys, we're going to put together everything so you can get access to Rebecca. It's important that you do. All of you that are in the wellness arena are thinking about it, or even those that are suffering and dealing with self-doubt, we'll provide all of Rebecca's information so you can get to her. The reason why you want to get to her, because she has learned a few things dealing with this specific thing that will come up in your life. Many of you guys are busy, you're doing things, you're living, you have a family, working, all those things. And you don't have the time sometimes to dig deep and ask the right question. Now, when you have a guide like Rebecca, who have been through the forest, if you will, and have learned a few things. She knows a few things. She can recognize a few things. She will know the questions to ask you. Why? Because she was there before. Just by listening to you, she will locate you as to where you are in that forest. And then she'll ask you some questions, and those questions will be able to unearth some of those deep things that you had within you. And one of the some of the answers that you will say is stuff like, I didn't know that I can do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that before. Mm-hmm. I get it. Now I see. Why? Because those are the right questions to bring that change of perspective. And when that happens, freedom. And so we're going to provide everything that she has so you can have access to her. So here you are, Rebecca. You are in your assignment. I love that. When we get into our assignment, there's nothing like it is. So it's, I think I tell people there's an aspect of voyeurism that one is engaged in when you see someone doing something they love. It is, there is such passion in it. There's such a holiness there when you encounter it in whatever form, a basketball player, musician, someone like Sarah. It is voyeurism at its best because we get a chance to see someone walking within their gift. Here you are. Talk to us as to invite us, Rebecca, as to one of those conversations that you had with someone and you began to talk to them and the light, you know, begins to, that curtain, if you will, begins to open up and they began to see beyond their situation and go, oh my God, we call it that light bulb moment. Talk to us about one of those, invite us to one of those holy sessions and tell us about the change. I know you are gonna change, but also what happened to that individual.
Like my clients, my students?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking? Yeah.
Yeah,
I absolutely, absolutely love having the coaching sessions. One of my students has been or had been wanting to, I work a lot with yoga teachers. And so this yoga teacher came to me, had been practicing or teaching yoga for many years, but feeling called to do more, feeling called to teach meditation, feeling called to speak, but she was stuck and she didn't know how to even, she was stuck in connecting to herself and she wanted to know herself more. She wanted to go on that inner work, the path. And so in working together, I absolutely, that was my first student that I started doing that work with and discovered, got my assignment, as you said, that in working with her, I could hear like every question she had for me, I knew what to, I felt like we were just in a perfect relationship together where I knew what to say, I knew how to guide her. But in those moments of just of sharing and teaching her how to learn self-acceptance, get to a place of self-compassion, because to me, self-compassion is the answer to everything. It unlocks, takes away the self-doubt, takes away the inner critic and unlocks the truth of who we are. So in teaching her self-compassion, there were just seeing her, the light in her eyes like expand and like her chest soften. And you could see this look on her face of possibility and hope. And also a sense of knowing and connection, like a part of, not that she was becoming someone new, rather she was becoming the person who she always knew she was. Just those barriers melted away. And then since working with her, she's gone on to, she's working on public speaking. She has plans to start a podcast. She is teaching meditation. She's teaching workshops. It's like the freedom to explore her desires and teach the things that she wants to teach is now possible because of doing that inner work. And yeah, I do that on a much larger level now in a group program and with individuals. And then I love teaching the inner work and the external work. So I love teaching step-by-step strategies for business growth and step-by-step strategies for overcoming the inner barriers that come up when we're working on the external as trying to put ourselves out there and follow our goals. And even just goal setting and goal achievement and all of that stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm looking at you. Yeah, are you there?
I am.
It said that your device, but that's all right. It recorded everything you said. It records. We were told.
Oh, okay, good.
Hey guys, does it record yet? So I love that. That's Rebecca. That's what it's all about. It's that transition. I love that because, as I said in the onset, that not many. Of those that are not servants. Only servants get to see that when someone is transitioning from, from a space of a perspective of darkness that kept them in bondage for many years or whatever that is. When that shifting of the perspective, you see that light, you see the awareness, you see, and you'd mentioned one of my favorite words ever in the English language. You could see herself becoming. I use that. People to me, what are you doing? I would tell them, I am becoming. And to me, it gives room for a tremendous amount of growth. And so that's, guys, that's what Rebecca's skill set is to assist you to make that perspective change so that you can become what? Become who you truly are. And when you're aware of you, the power of you, you will change you and you will change everything around you. And so we want to encourage you, Rebecca has been here with us for a little while sharing her story. And I know she would like to encourage you to come and get to know who you are. We're going to provide all of the links again for you to get to Rebecca so that you can learn from her and she will walk with you to get you to that place where your perspective is changed and your mindset. You become one that no longer walks and is ruled by self-doubt, but that's something that you can now use as your superpower to guide others into becoming. Rebecca, I want to thank you so much for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you so much for such a beautiful, deep, amazing conversation. I'm so grateful to have been here and been a part of this.
Thank you.